Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. It's time for Valiant Sunday, and there's a couple of Valiant books coming out this week that hopefully we're going to talk about. We have Bloodshot Salvation number 8 and Ninja K number 6. And the reason I say hopefully we're going to talk about them is because Jesse and I are going to cover kind of a sensitive subject right here. Some more news came out in recent days. I think in a way it was kind of a not very well-kept secret. I think it was kind of the secret that everybody knew, but it officially got announced on Friday that Warren Simons has resigned as editor-in-chief or executive editor of Valiant. So we're going to talk about that first, and we're going to kind of talk about the state of Valiant. And then if we have time, we'll mention the books. Usually I don't like to go too in-depth on books that haven't come out yet. So we'll talk about the state of Valiant and then maybe give our impression of those two titles if we have time. So, let me welcome you to the show as always, Jesse. Thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure, big guy.
So, let me get your, I assume that you kind of knew about, cause you're kind of in the know, so you probably knew about Warren. So whenever it was, whether it was with this recent announcement or if you knew before, what was your initial reaction when you heard Warren was leaving?
Well, I heard rumors through a while back about it. And here's the thing. Obviously there's been a buyout. Everybody knows. And whenever that happens, one or two things occurs. Either there's a huge turnover of personnel and the new empire is built, or they keep on as many of the old regime as possible. And they just try to keep going on with the status quo. And then, just see if they can make what was working before work better. As soon as we started seeing things, I think it was announced around back in January, around the 29th or so, that Valiant had been sold. And then just a few days later, it was, Dinesh was out, and then Hunter, their VP of marketing, he was gone. And then, shortly after that, they hired, called, Ballers. And then a little after that, then, they got a new director of marketing and there's been a whole bunch of things going on. I think really right now, if I was guessing, out of the original, regime, only Fred Pierce and Adam Freeman are the only ones that remain. I mean, so it's been a complete, for the most part, complete swap out of senior management at Valiant. And that says a couple things. That says that the things that are happening, there's been one hell of a shakeup going on. But at the same time, it also says that things are not going to be the same. And I think that's something we're going to have to discuss here a little bit, because, like any relationship you're in life, you can dump one lover and get another one, but it doesn't mean you're going to have the same relationship. And history tells us that this is the case in business and marketing, and certainly in publishing.
So, I'll give my initial reaction. When I heard about, my first reaction when I heard that DMG had exercised their buyout and Valiant had been sold was no. My first reaction was complete denial. No, that can't be right. It's a rumor. It didn't actually go down. And it took me all of about 30 seconds to confirm it. And then, I reach out to people, Dinesh being one, immediately. And find out that he's not there anymore, and my heart just sank, because I've said this to many Valiant fans in the recent weeks. I came for the characters. I came back to VEI for the characters. They were characters that I remembered enjoying from collecting and reading comics in the 90s, and I came back to see what it was about. And I stayed because of the people that were there. So once I heard Dinesh was gone, my hopes weren't high for this new version. And then when I heard Hunter was leaving, that was another big blow. And I had heard other things, in the meantime, and had heard that Hunter was probably going to be leaving. And then that got announced at that point, I was pretty much resigned to the fact that the Valiant I knew was gone and would never exist again. So when I found out probably about 2 weeks later, I'd say, after I heard Dinesh had left that Warren was leaving. So it was probably about a month ago or so, maybe a little longer, that I had found out about Warren. My initial reaction was not one of surprise, maybe one of inevitability. Like, okay, I, you know, completely expected that. I figured it was only a matter of time. And really my thoughts on it were more, how is the community going to react? Because I had seen a lot of people, whether it be on the Facebook group, Valiant Fans, or whether it be on the Valiant Fans forum, I'd seen a lot of people that in their eyes, despite the fact that it was much more than just because of these two people, in their eyes, the Dinesh and Warren were the two people most responsible for Valiant success. And I know that's not entirely accurate, and Dinesh and Warren would be the first ones to tell you that it was really a labor of love from a lot of people over there. But that was just kind of the perception that a lot of people had, that it was Dinesh and Warren that were steering the ship. And they had seen that Dinesh had left, and they were okay. I mean, they weren't okay with that, but there were a lot of them that saying, I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to try to be patient. As long as Warren's there and they're putting out good books, I'm a fan of the characters. I'm going to try to be patient and hang on. And so then a couple weeks later, I hear Warren's leaving, and my reaction, as I said, was not one of surprise. It was more like, well, wait till this hits the boards, right? Wait till Valiant fans start hearing about this. It's really going to, yeah, the crap's really going to hit the fan at this point. You're going to see people jumping off in droves. And I'm actually a little bit surprised that I haven't seen a lot of that reaction. I've seen some of that reaction, people saying, that's it. That's the final straw. But I think that people have already kind of gotten used to the idea of Valiant without Dinesh. And they've kind of, you know, decided on their own whether they're staying on as a fan or going. And so I in a way, I feel like this announcement of a resignation by Warren, I think it also didn't surprise a lot of people. And I think it also didn't have as big of an impact. I think if it had happened right after Dinesh, but it had happened sooner, if the announcement had happened sooner, you would have seen more of a reaction. But again, I think people are kind of resigned. The Valiant fans seem to be in two camps right now. They either seem to be in the, well, I knew it was over when Dinesh left, or, you know, regardless of who stays or who leaves, I'm going to stick it out till the books start suffering. So I think those are kind of the two camps that are out there right now. What do you think, Jesse? Is that kind of the feeling, or the, is that a good assessment of the feeling in the community right now?
It seems like it. I mean, first of all, if I were to go to somebody right now and say, hey, who's the CEO for Image Comics? You know, they might not know. They might not care, you know. And certain publishers, it doesn't really matter because that was never a thing. With Valiant, it kind of was that thing. Because you got to remember that Dinesh was a fan before he was anything in Valiant. I mean, he was a fan. He was reading it. He's got pictures of him you can find on the web of him blowing out candles on a birthday cake with the Valiant logo on it when he was a kid. So he was in essence one of the fans. He was one of us. And watching him over the span of several years, revive something that so many people had cherished as children. And bring it back into, not just to its original glory, but even surpassing that in most regards. That's hard to replace. In a lot of ways, guys like Warren, guys like Dinesh, they were synonymous with Valiant. They were the ones who were out there on the convention floor, shaking hands and slapping hands, and hey man, meet us afterwards. We'll have a drink, and. Hey man, you should really read this, and it was believable because you got to remember that fans, most comic book fans, not all, but most aren't Fortune 500 company kind of fast talking Wall Street brokers. They're regular people, that are trying to look for an escape. They want to relate to people that are regular people. They want to relate to people that, can kind of meet them on that level. You can kind of like give them a sense of genuine excitement, and Dinesh could do that. Warren to do that. Without them, we're stepping towards a more of a corporate product. And that's not wrong necessarily. A lot of very, very good products have come out of corporations like that. But what it is to say is that what has worked so far and has been an identity for Valiant is fading. And that's we're losing fans. We may be gaining some. I don't know yet, but we're certainly losing some. And that's a scary place to be on early on, especially following a takeover like this.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And the problem is really for me, you know, because I've had conversations with Dinesh, and he still wants to see these characters succeed. You know, he still loves them, and he still wants to see what he kind of brought forth in relaunching VEI. He wants to see it succeed. So, you know, I've debated on whether or not to keep doing Valiant Sunday, you know, what's going to happen. Everybody I knew over there for the most part has left. I mean, obviously I know Fred, I know Adam, and that's great, and I want to support them, but there's all these other people that aren't saying anything. So it makes it tough. But beyond that, when you start talking about the relationships with creators and the people that Dinesh knew and Warren knew from being in the industry for so long, you know, they had some cred, you know? They had some pull within the industry because not only the success of Valiant and what they were able to do with the relaunch and bringing it back to life, but just based on the fact that they were in the industry and they had networked and they had known people. Warren, you know, had previously worked at Marvel, so they knew people. They could bring in good, strong talent. And some of that strong talent, they were loyal to Warren and they were loyal to Dinesh. And now that they're both gone, that talent is leaving the company. It's a bit of a talent drain right now. And, you know, part of that led to the restructuring of Harbinger Wars number 2. And, you know, in some ways I'm no different than a lot of comic fans. I tend to be a little resistant to change for the most part. And so when I heard they were changing the format of Harbinger Wars 2, I don't want it to be changed. I don't want it to go from 4 issues to 6 issues. I want what I was told I was going to get. 4 44-page issues with 2 separate 22-page stories each with Matt Kinn and Eric Heiser each writing half the book. I was excited for that. I was looking forward to that. I loved what Heiser did on Secret Weapons. So why would I not want more of that? And so it's things like that that – and in all fairness to DMG, it's – you can't lay it all at their feet. Yes, for whatever reason, they felt Dinesh needed to move on. But I don't know this for sure, but I don't think they asked Eric Heiser to leave. That was, I believe, his choice as far as he wanted to be loyal to the person that brought him in to the company. And so they're kind of stuck in, you know, or between a rock and a hard place. And I feel like maybe that's why, I mean, I've heard a lot of fans saying, well, that's the problem is they're not saying anything. And the thing is, it's like anything they say right now is going to be taken the wrong way, or it's going to be taken out of context, or it's going to be ripped to shreds. And they're not a comic book company. DMG is not a comic book publisher. They may be just trying to get the lay of the land and trying to understand, and, you know, better to, in their minds, probably not say anything than say wrong things, because the one statement they did make about Dinesh leaving wasn't received well, and I don't know how it could be, but even the statement that was made seemed a little tone deaf as far as it concerns how comic book fans would react. When you take beloved comic book characters, and Dinesh was always the first one to say whenever anybody asked him about movies or TV shows, his first statement would be, we're a comic book publisher first. We want to make sure the comics are our focus and they're as good as they can be. Best story wins. That is the exact polar opposite of DMG and what their statement said. They want to bring the Valiant properties to other media, TV, movies specifically, and that is their focus. So that has a lot of comic book fans worried, because as I said, it's the exact opposite of what Dinesh always said. Exact opposite. And so you know, people are worried that they're going to forget about the publishing arm and they're just going to hope that the Bloodshot movie is a wild success and they get to build off that. And if not, maybe it all goes away. So again, we just don't know. They recently hired Mel Kylo to be their new director of marketing, and he's trying to get his feet under him still. You know, I've talked to him. He wants to come on the show, but you know, he's at C2E2 this weekend. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of roles that need to be filled over there because a lot of people left. So it's very much a time of upheaval. And I know everybody that's still there that I've talked to, both people that have been there for a while, like Fred and Adam, as well as new people like Mel and Kyle Bowlers, are telling everyone that they can talk to. They're happy to talk to fans, as they've always been. And they're just saying, just give us time. Just be patient. Just give us a chance. It can work. So, I mean, I go back and forth. I really have mixed feelings about it. There's times when I feel like this can succeed and maybe it's going to be a good thing because DMG's got a lot of capital. And there's other times where I think, man, they're going to run this into the ground in record time. So I guess it really depends on how the fans react and if the quality of the books remains relatively high. I mean, if the quality of the books remains relatively high, it won't matter if the fans lose confidence and the sales numbers drop through the floor. Vice versa, if the books go down in quality, but they pick up new fans either because of Bloodshot movie or other thing, you know, whatever they do, then they can keep it going for a while because the sales are going to be good. So, you know, either one of those things could happen. At this point, I still think it's too early to tell. And you know, if somebody pinned me down and said, you've got to tell me how long you think Valiant would last, or if you think it's going to be a success, I probably have an answer, but I'm going to play the politician and keep that to myself for now. What do you think, Jesse?
Well, you know, first off, I'm going to say this. I've been a fan of Valiant since the beginning. And so nothing in this world would matter more in many ways than to watch it succeed. I think that's universally across the board. Nobody wants to see it fail. And I remember watching in 2012 when it rebooted, hearing people say doom and gloom and doom and gloom, you know, and that didn't happen. There's always people that want to say doom and gloom. The sky is falling, per se. Maybe the sky is kind of falling, but I don't know yet. I don't know. Time will see. We'll have to see the quality of the product. I kind of feel in a sense, though. I watched the film Ready Player One the other day with my kids, and it's interesting because you know, there's this character named Sorrento who's you know, he's the face of a corporation that comes in and is trying to take over the gaming world and whatnot, and use it as to up profits and make it a more profitable mechanism. And he's portrayed as a bad guy, and he's got a flashy suit on, and he's real fast talking, and he doesn't really know anything about the world. He doesn't really know anything about the gaming industry or the gamers themselves. But he just knows how to maximize profit, and he's got all these nerds in the background that are like whispering in his ear, telling him all these pop culture references, so he can seem hip, so he can seem like he's in the know, so he can seem like he's relatable, and it just makes you hate him even more, you know, And in a lot of ways, I could see it to where the fan base for Valiant is viewing Dan Mintz that way. You know, who is this guy? You know, he has absolutely no background in comics. I mean, he's running around in a flashy suit. You know, he looks like he's made out of plastic on stage. And you know, and now he's in charge of the thing that we love. We don't hear anything from the guy. What does that mean? You know, so people start Googling them and they start asking questions like, hey, you know, maybe the past will predict the future. You know, maybe let's see where it's going. I mean, you don't make millions of dollars by accident. Maybe he's got something going on. And so you start looking at the movies he's produced, and like Point Break, which had a 10% on Rotten Tomatoes. Looper was actually a pretty good movie. Iron Man 3, which, you know, was with Disney. But I got a question here because he never did anything with Disney after that. When if you make so much money with one film, I don't know why you wouldn't why they wouldn't beg to have you come back. I don't know. That doesn't make sense, right? Transcendence was, 20% of Rotten Tomatoes. You know, Collide, recent film, 23% of Rotten Tomatoes. So what I'm seeing here is a string of bombs, which means one of two things. Either he's not really good at what he does, or he's not in control of what he does. And neither one of those is really that good. And so that spooks me because, based on that track record, and now he's entered into an arena of comic publishing and hopefully comic movies, it makes me wonder, will he make those same choices? There's something in there that makes bad creative choices, or at least appears to be so. And that doesn't bode well for me for the future. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I'm just trying to say, hey, Dan, if you're listening to this, wake up, man. Manage the money and do what you got to do, but at the same time, understand that sometimes you need somebody else to step in that has the abilities to get things where it's got to be. Creative genius doesn't come from always the most successful places. Sometimes you got to work with people that are a little eccentric or a little peculiar, a little odd, and from that, the greatest things are born. And you have to have a little bit of trust. So I've trusted Valiant for a very long time. I trusted Dinesh coming in, and I'm going to try to trust him moving forward. But so far, we haven't heard much from the company. We haven't heard much from, we haven't seen new products. The products we're seeing now were written months ago by the old regime. Shadow Man, that was written by the old regime. Harbinger Wars, for the most part, by the old regime. They've announced Britannia, another volume of that, but rumor has it that was written a while back too, and it was sitting in the drawer. So we haven't actually seen anything that is from DMG in the new IP, new content, new creative stuff. And so none of us really can make any decisions on our own as to whether or not we trust DMG or not, because we haven't seen anything from DMG.
Yeah, and I go back to the fact that nobody from DMG, no DMG executive, has come out and said anything, And I know we were kind of spoiled in that we had the, CEO and COO of the company out there on Twitter and, giving us news all the time. And so in a way, the Valiant's gone from the most transparent comic book publisher to the least transparent. And for a lot of hardcore fans, that's real troubling because they're used to constantly hearing things. And some of that goes down to Hunter Goranson, the vice president of marketing that left. He was such a savvy marketing guy that he always knew how to keep the news cycle going. There was always something that had fans excited, and now it just seems like not so much. So yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, they've announced a few things, Joshua Dysart's Life and Times of Toyo Harada and this new Britannia, but the Harada thing's well off in 2019. And like you said, the Britannia supposedly was sitting in a drawer somewhere. So it's like, man, I really wish we knew what is going on over there. Like, we haven't heard of any creator summits. Usually those happen. We haven't heard of any. We've heard of some promotions, but we haven't heard of them recruiting any talent. All we've seen so far is people leaving and talent drain. I think it would go a long way toward appeasing a lot of fans if they could announce, hey, we signed a big name to write this story or that story or whatever. But at least they haven't lost Lemire or Kent yet. I mean, they lose one of those two, and I think people are really going to lose their minds.
Well, you say that, but it was just about 2 months ago when I saw people posting online, hey, as long as Warren's still here, we're good to go.
Yeah, it's true. But like I said, I think that the timing of that helped them out because they did wait so long. It's kind of interesting. They waited a long time. I don't know that they necessarily said, okay, we're going to wait till C2E2 and then announce it the morning of, because then it's going to get buried in all the comic news coming out of C2E2. If they did that, then that's a pretty smart move and probably the smartest move I've seen them make thus far.
pretty much. And you know, I understand the change comes. You know, changes happen in Marvel, changes happen in DC, and change will happen again here. You know, the real thing is let's take it back a few months to the initial buyout announcement. You know, I believe Mintz specifically stated that he was not looking at expanding from a publishing perspective, but from a multimedia perspective, as I recall correctly. So we honestly shouldn't be shocked that we haven't seen a whole lot of expansion with the comics, mainly because he flat out said he wasn't going to do that. Now, I know that a lot of money was put into Valiant, and as a result, you know, DMG as a whole is looking for a return on investment, and they probably want it faster because faster is always better in the world of business, right? And so they're looking to get stuff out there. But the problem is, and I'm gonna shift it a little bit towards multimedia, is that, you know, other production companies have tried this too. You know, Warner Brothers has tried to catch up to Marvel in the cinematic universe, and it's been arguably a rough ride. You know, whereas Marvel had, you know, a decade plus of movies built up to, you know, what's coming to be Infinity War here shortly. DC tried to throw that stuff together in just a matter of films, a few short films, and it just kind of, it was too much. And Marvel's made mistakes too in the past, don't get me wrong. But if you try to sprint to the finish line too early, you confuse people, and you have a kind of a convoluted story that, you know, it doesn't really make sense, or, you know, it's kind of forgettable in some respects. And my fear is that that could happen with DMG's vision. You know, hey man, we got to make some money real quick, man. We spend some cash on this. We got to flip it. Let's go, 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 go. And next thing you know, you've got a film, which is more than you had before. But a bad film is not great. A bad film is not what you know, is going to do anybody any good. They might be able to, you know, break even on their investment and move on. And that's my biggest fear. Yeah, I know, and many of us know, this is a multi-billion-dollar industry. It's very easy, not easy, but very possible to make, you know, decades of films using Valiant IP. It's absolutely possible with a nice building process, using that information and the creative content that's available. I mean, this could be going on into, you know, well over a decade from now. It'd be awesome. But if they try to sprint real quickly and just start throwing crap at the wall to see what sticks, well, then we could end up seeing the end of Valiant before too long, because they squandered what was the awesomeness that was there.
Yeah, the one hope I have for the movie is, despite the fact that Dinesh is no longer with Valiant, or VEI, I should say, is that Sony picked him up to work on the Bloodshot movie from their side of things. So to me, that is a huge win. You know, I don't know what his official role is, or, you know, how much they're going to listen to him, but I have confidence that the movie will be better for having him involved. And I hope that he's able to kind of be true to the vision of Bloodshot, because I think, you know, I agree with you 100%. If Bloodshot sucks, they'll probably make their money back on it. You know, just based on the fact that it's DMG and they have ties to China, and they can always, you know, make money on the DVD and all that kind of stuff. But that won't bode well for any future Valiant movies if it doesn't do well. But there's the other side to that, right? Like, you know, we talk about, or we've talked a lot about, you know, we want the comics to do well. We, you know, there's always that. And it's human nature, that tendency to long for the better days of yesteryear. And, you know, my argument would be things weren't always better way back when, despite how fondly we remember them. So as much as we want things to stay the same, like you said yourself, Jesse, things change. And so there's every possibility that with Dinesh involved in the Bloodshot movie, that it will be successful. And that opens up another possibility for the publishing line. Yes, VEI is this new iteration of VEI with DMG in charge, is focusing on the multimedia, but they still need something to pull from. They still need to keep publishing comics. And so if Bloodshot makes, you know, $300, $400 million and is a huge success and they can't wait to get the next Valiant property out there, they're still going to need books and they're still going to need stories to pull from. So a big success for Bloodshot means, you know, maybe some reinvestment into the publishing lines. And yeah, they've brought some people on, but I still don't think they necessarily feel like they've gotten, you know, Warren's replacement on board yet. And so it's entirely possible that they could get somebody in there who, you know, has those networking connections, who has that cred in the industry, like I was talking about that Warren and Dinesh have, that could start bringing in some talent. So it wouldn't surprise me to find out that's kind of what they're focusing on right now. Now, the problem is, how much faith or trust would somebody that good have in this comic publisher who's now owned by this, you know, media conglomerate who doesn't know anything about comics? That's where I worry that they're not going to be able to attract somebody really good. You know, they may have to give them carte blanche to do what they want with the publishing line. And if it is somebody good, then that could work out. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here. It's, you know, as much as I hate to keep preaching patience and wait and see, I really feel like we really don't know anything yet. It's still too early. And that's the other thing, you know, to say it's still early days. It is, but like you were saying, in business, you know, they're looking to make their money back as soon as possible. And, you know, things can happen quickly, you know, it can happen overnight that somebody's announced. So, again, I go back to Valiant fans being kind of spoiled and used to being in on things and a constant news cycle, and it's kind of dried up. So, but I feel like, man, they're only one big announcement away from, I mean, I don't even know who would be a good editor-in-chief. Everybody that I can think of that would be a great editor-in-chief is pretty solid with where they are. For some of the smaller publishers, like I think Mike Martz, that he would be great, but he's with Aftershock and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So, but somebody like that, somebody who has been in the industry a long time, who knows a lot of people, who's well respected, that's what they need. And like I said, all the people I can think of like that are pretty happy where they are. So I think it would take a big offer from Valiant, but maybe that's what a few of them are looking for, right? More freedom to kind of create. If they're with one of the big two, their hands are tied to a certain extent. God, I just had a terrible thought. What if they reach out to Eddie Berganza? That would be a PR nightmare. Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, there's every possibility of them still turning around. I mean, Adam and Fred have been around the comic book industry for decades and they still believe in this company. So, and they're in the know more than any of us, right? So, I don't know. I think it can still work. You have any names?
It can still work.
You have anybody you can think of that you think would be a good fit for editor-in-chief?
Oh, off the top of my head, now listen, I know that Warren isn't the only guy that could do the job. This, you know, there's been a lot of successful comic lines out there and a lot of phenomenal editors over the years, you know, to make that happen. So I'm not going to name anybody because I can't off the top of my head. I'll just say this. Yes, Valiant can still go forward. It can still do great things. And I'm going to be along for the ride, of course, until I have a reason not to be. And we're just speculating on how things appear at the time. I will say this. I don't necessarily know that this was the most politically planned transition. You know, optically, it wasn't the smoothest deal because they ruffled a lot of feathers. And, you know, I actually haven't read too many things online that sounded positive. And I don't think these guys are sitting around calculating, you know, hey, let's make everybody really think it's bad and then surprise them with how good it is.
No.
You know, most PR firms, they want to always look good. And all you have to do is look at photos of Dan Mintz online, and you know that the guy wants to look good. You know, he wants to be on the spotlight, you know, and he wants people clapping for him. And he probably can't stand the idea that somebody would say something negative. You know, it's almost like a Donald Trump mindset. You know, tell me good things and I'll promote you. Tell me bad things and I'll fire you. But, you know, I am interested to see how things go. I'm really interested, of course, to see, you know, how Dinesh's involvement, what that does with the films. Of course, I've been, you know, a fan of the comics long before films were a thing. You know, the superhero genre really took off after 2000. So what I don't want to see is Giant get ridiculous and go some new, you know, creative route where all of a sudden it's, you know, targeted towards young adults or some crap, you know, where now we're reading stories like an Archie comic, you know, that are like kind of tongue-in-cheek and just it's a total different thing than it ever was before, and you can't even read it the same way anymore. You know, Giant has always been more of a grown-up comic book with more grown-up themes, and that's at least, you know, at a minimum what I'd like to see. It's you don't really know where Valiant's going to go. That's been the excitement. It's been the Game of Thrones or the Walking Dead of the comic industry in a sense, in that, you know, with Marvel, I always knew that, you know, they could kill any hero they wanted to and we'll see them in 12 months. But in Valiant, man, I'm still waiting to see Flamingo come back. You know, it hasn't happened. You know, I don't want to see a new 52 for Valiant. I don't want to see, just a complete, you know, relaunch of the whole line a year from now because they couldn't figure out what to do and it just seemed cheaper to start over from scratch. And I think a lot of people are worried about that.
Yeah, that's, yeah, some kind of reboot, relaunch, renumbering, especially if it has a different tone, would not go over well. You know, you and I have talked about this offline before too, though. Here's the thing, right? Like, as much as we feel like these VEI comics have been good quality books, and as much as we love them and they have a, you know, pretty solid, rabid fan base, in the scheme of things, that fan base is relatively small. If they can reach, you know, they're not looking to sell thousands of books. They're looking to sell tens of thousands, millions of movie tickets and DVDs and video game, you know, millions. That's where the money is. So, you know, it's so hard to separate the passion and the love we have for these characters from the business side of it. Because at the end of the day, DMG is looking to make money. That's what they want to do. They want to be successful. They want to make money with these characters. So if they do relaunch, they do reboot and go in a different direction and it's wildly successful in the films, that's going to be a tough pill for us Valiant fans to swallow if it's so different from what we've come to love about VEI. You know, it'd be like, well, they're cranking out these movies, but they don't really feel like Valiant stories. I mean, that would be... I almost feel like that's worst-case scenario. I would almost rather see it fail than see it turned into something that it shouldn't be in my mind. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what you mean. And, you know, I'll say this. Things do change. Like Aquaman in the most recent film was nowhere near what the Aquaman that we've ever seen before was. So things have changed. One person said that the reason why Heath Ledger's Joker works so well was because it wasn't the Joker. It was a whole different character. You know, and there are things that can be reinvented that work very, very well. But they also have historically proven creative teams behind them, you know, and A-list actors that are, you know, just totally kick ass in their execution. I agree. The bottom line is that DMG wants money and rightly so. I mean, that's, you know, without money, you don't have comic books, but you got to remember that the creative engine must exist. The reason why Doctor Strange films exist is because Doctor Strange existed as a comic for, you know, 40 years. The reason why Wolverine, a mutant from Canada with claws, is interesting is because he had a fan base coming in, and it's had years of story to build on, and IP to feed the film engine. X-Men, Avengers, all of these guys, they have so much to draw from. It's iconic in a sense that where, you know, people say, oh my God, a Spider-Man movie. I have to see it because it's a Spider-Man movie. Whereas if Spider-Man had never existed as a comic book character and, you know, just popped up out of nowhere, I'm not entirely sure people would be interested. You know, they might be like, oh, what, Spider-Man? That's a dumb name. You know, and then not be interested at all. You have to have a certain level of connection to your roots. You have to have a certain connection to your fan base, you know, that is tangible and real. Because your casual moviegoer buy a ticket, but your casual moviegoer isn't going to dress up like Thor and go to conventions or make Thor fan pages that have like 100,000 followers. Your Thor, you know, they're just going to go buy a ticket and then move on to the next shiny thing.
All right, let's do this. I'm going to give you a few names as potential replacements for Warren, and you give me your impressions. And I'm just pulling them. I haven't thought about this ahead of time. I'm just going to pull out some names at random of people that I think could handle the job. And I'm not necessarily endorsing any of these people. Some of them will be names that I've already seen other people mention as replacements for Warren, and some are just, I'm pulling them out of thin air. So I'll start off with the obvious, Jim Shooter.
You know, Jim Shooter, not really a go. Jim Shooter, I don't know, he's, maybe if this was 20 years ago, that would be a thing, but Jim Shooter's best days are arguably behind him. And there's, I mean, he's set in his ways. I just don't see him working well with other people. He wants to be the king of the hen house. I just don't see that happen.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like he doesn't necessarily have the connections anymore that he did 20 years ago. And he really, I mean, he really did VEI dirty with what he did when he was involved in early days. So I don't see that happening. But there are some people that still, you know, are such huge fans of the VH1 universe that will go down fighting for Shooter regardless. So how about Mark Waid?
Well, he's done very well. Let's see. I don't know. I'm having a hard time because, I mean, where he is now is pretty much, he's in the spot. Give me another one.
How about, okay, here's an interesting one. Recently left his post as editor-in-chief of IDW. How about Chris Ryle?
Well, IDW has some good stuff going on. He understands the industry. Does he really understand Valiant? I don't know, but he understands the industry. It's possible it could work.
Yeah, that one for me, that would excite me. I know Chris, and I know that he has a lot of contacts and knows a lot of people in the industry. He has, as Jesse said, he understands the industry. I think VEI and the Valiant Universe would present much different challenges than IDW. I mean, they have a lot of licensed stuff. Valiant's a totally different animal. So yeah, I'm not sure that he understands it, but I have a feeling, knowing Chris the way I do, that he would welcome the challenge. But at the same time, part of the reason that he gave for leaving the post at IDW was the fact he wanted to get off the constant deadline, you know, cycle. So I don't know that he'd probably not looking to leave one EIC job to go take on another one. Let me see, who else? Okay, what about Axel Alonso? He recently left his position as editor-in-chief of Marvel. Think that could work?
Well, anybody who's worked for Marvel in that kind of a position understands the industry, and they understand the game very well. You don't get to work for Marvel in the editor-in-chief role without that. However, I haven't been overly impressed with everything that Marvel's done over the last decade. It's been a lot of reboots, a lot of mix-ups, a lot. I don't know. It's just there's been a lot of controversy with how they've marketed their products, and a lot of old fans aren't really interested anymore. And I know they're trying to get new fans coming on and whatnot. But I hear a lot more about the Marvel Cinematic Universe than I do the Marvel comic line, and that's not great. You know, comics should come first, and I know that it's hard because, you know, media reaches more people, but I'll go back to your question. Yes, he could do it. He could do it. But he would have to adjust his way of thinking, because Valiant and Marvel are totally different animals.
Yeah, I almost feel like, I mean, I don't think he could do it. I agree. He does know a lot of people in the industry, but I think that might get a lot more people to jump off just from the way Marvel's been in the toilet lately. But I feel like maybe somebody coming from a smaller publisher, you know, another small, like Sean Mankiewicz from Skybound, I think he would be a great fit. But again, I mean, what motivation would he have to leave Skybound and, you know, Robert Kirkman's money-making machine to come over to Valiant? I don't see it. But that's what they need to do. They need to get somebody young who's you know, right in the midst of the industry, right down there in the trenches with everybody, who's come up with a lot of these creators, who knows some of the younger creators that are starting to make names for themselves, who are excited and will put, you know, the energy and the effort into these titles. But unfortunately, it's like you almost have to catch lightning in a bottle if you hire somebody that doesn't have a lot of experience. Because again, taking somebody that has experience, like, you know, Sean Mankiewicz or Chris Ryle or Mark Waid, it's going to cost a lot more money, first of all. And second of all, it's like, what motivation do they have to leave a sure thing or a safe thing, wherever they currently are, to go and take a chance on DMG and Valiant? So yeah, it's certainly an interesting question. And I think the most important question for Valiant fans, as far as the publishing arm of VEI is concerned. I mean, until we know who that is, everything has kind of been in limbo. So I hope and pray that by San Diego Comic-Con, at least we have some kind of idea. I mean, it would be great to have it come out sooner, because as we all know, a rudderless ship doesn't go anywhere. And that's, you know, it already felt like that when Dinesh left, and now that Warren's gone, it really feels like nobody's steering the ship over there. So they really need to, they need a leader. It's that simple.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it'd be really nice if by San Diego Comic Con, if somebody, you know, they announce, hey, here's a new editor in chief, and they come out in a Papa Smurf t-shirt and, like, you know, say, hey guys, here's the future. Let me lead you the way, you know, and all the fans clap, and then, you know, a good product comes out. And I hope that that happens. For me, I'm going to be looking towards books that come out following Harbinger Wars 2. Those are the books that, you know, will not have been fully written at this time. They'll be written, you know, they're being written now. And that'll determine kind of the new tone, where things are going, and what we can expect in the future.
Yep, I agree. Well, we've pretty much used up all our time here, Jesse, but let's real quick just to mention our thoughts on the couple books coming out this week. What'd you think of Bloodshot Salvation number 8?
You know, I really liked it. You know, a lot of people were kind of torn between the previous issue. It was all black and dark, and it was just text bubbles only. I personally liked it. I thought that issue was an interesting take. I mean, if you think about it, most books don't have a lot of pictures too, but it seemed to be very fine. And then that led into this issue. And it was actually, as a fanboy, it was very enjoyable. I mean, it connected a lot of elements that we've seen over Valiant in the past couple of years that had not been previously connected in this way. you got elements, you know, time, space, and everything in between, plus Bloodshot, plus the dead side, you know. I think that people are going to be excited by it because it does open up the possibilities for some interesting storytelling to come.
Yeah, I agree. No surprise there, being that it's Jeff Lemire tying in all these, you know, supposedly disparate threads. So I loved how it kind of bridged the timeline, the two stories he was telling. Originally, when Bloodshot Salvation first started, where we had baby Jesse and then we had the older Jesse. So that kind of got explained. That was cool. That was interesting to see. I loved seeing Shadow Man show up. I loved Bloodshot needing to fight while protecting Jesse. That was really cool. If I had any complaint about the issue, I wasn't crazy about the art. For me, Guedes' art is kind of hit or miss. But going back to the previous issue that you mentioned, I totally agree that the Blackout issue was really cool. It really evoked emotion, I think, which is what Lemire was going for, I think. Like the few pages where he was in the water and he had lost Jesse, really felt like, you know, the panic that he would feel, you know, as a father. So yeah, solid story, solid issue. But really an issue that kind of bridges, I think, everything that's happened so far with Bloodshot Salvation to what's going to happen in the future. So very much looking forward to more Bloodshot Salvation. What about Ninja K number 6? What are your thoughts there?
So the first few issues of Ninja K, which are phenomenal, that's going to be its own chapter. You know, Ninja K 5 now is its own thing. It's where we're starting. It's next. I'm sorry, 6 is where we're starting our next storyline. And I thought it was cool because the first 5 issues of Ninja K were kind of contained within themselves. You know, it was really a Ninja centric story with Ninja characters and new additions. We talked about it at length, you and I, and that was really cool. And I think it's an amazing literary feat that Gage has put out there. This issue got back into the Valiant universe, so we're dealing with you know, more in there. We're starting to see characters that we have seen in other issues, another title, and it's kind of cool because it's the first time we've seen them since. And so there's going to be, you know, everything that was built on through issues 1 through 5, but, you know, now we're adding a new element that are familiar. Now there's a shift in the artwork. Don't get me wrong. Because I believe we had Tomas Chiarello, doing all the artwork prior to that. And, now we're, Juan Jose Wright, did the artwork for this, which is, you know, it's hyper detailed as ever. But it's, he's not a bad artist. So and some people say he's a great artist. So, it has a good visual appeal to it. And, I think there's a couple panels in this, book that are going to make, your hardcore Valiant fans go, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Juan Jose had previously done some work. I think he did the, was it issue 4 where it was, I can't remember which it was. It Ninja J, African-American one. I think he did the art on that. So he previously had done some art in the series, but yeah, this is his first time really diving deep into Colin King. So I enjoyed it as well. As Jesse mentioned, this really ties back into the Valiant universe more than the first 5 issues. We get mentions of things that happened previously in Mexico City during the Armor Hunters crossover and all that kind of stuff. So that was cool. And the last page leads me to believe that we're going to see some other Valiant characters show up. Ninjak seems to have bitten off a little more than he can chew, or MI6 has bitten it off for him, really, and sent him on this mission where he needs some, is going to need some help. I do find it interesting that it deals with a couple of traitors. And so I'm one of them, I understand their motivation. It's pretty well explained in the issue. The other, it's not so clear why he's turned against MI6. So I'm curious what's going to happen there. But yeah, I mean, as far as Christos Gage's take on the character, I think he understands Ninjak as well as Matt Kent does, who I feel is really the first writer to really have a handle on Colin King. Like Jesse and I said, we've talked about it before at length. Ninjak was kind of a cross between a Batman and a James Bond and Valiant the first go round, but really was more of a kind of a two-dimensional character. I credit Matt Kent with really adding some backstory and making him a much more compelling character and adding some emotion and motivation and some tragedy to his background that really helps you kind of understand why he does what he does and relate to him a little bit more. And I feel like Christos has really taken all those pieces that Matt Kent laid, the foundation, and he's really building upon them in incredible ways. So I hope that Christos is on the character for a long time. I'm ready for a good, 2-3 year run from Christos on this character, because I think he has a great handle on him. And I look forward to more of him fleshing out the history and bringing back other characters, specifically one character from Ninjak's past, and seeing how Christos kind of moves that relationship forward, so to speak. So yeah, really, really great issue. If I had to choose between the two, I think I enjoyed Ninja K6 more than Bloodshot 8. But I am very excited for the future of Bloodshot Salvation. As long as Jeff Lemire stays on the title, I'm definitely going to keep reading it. And as I said, this issue, Bloodshot 8, really feels like it's going to be a bridge between what's happened in the series so far and what's going to happen in the series going forward. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, I think the next issue is the origin of Bloodhound. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, they are. Teased that at the end, while this may not be the story that anybody asked for, it's the story we all need.
Oh yeah!
So I'm going to be first in line to read about the origin of Bloodhound.
Yeah, I'm very curious to read that as well. I know it's going to be really good. The only thing it's going to be just one more month before I get my because we see what happens to Bloodshot at the end of Bloodshot 8, and so I'm ready to find out what's going to happen to him. But and Lemire's done this before too, where he'll throw let's put Bloodshot here. Let's move to the story to this point, and then we're gonna kind of have this interlude and make everybody wait a little longer. So it makes for compelling reading for sure. And in my mind, these are my two favorite books that Valiant's putting. I know Exo Manowar is really, really good, but for me, Bloodshot Salvation and Ninja K are my two favorite books that Valiant's putting out. So definitely recommend everybody to go out there and pick them up. This Wednesday, which is the 11th? Yep. April 11th. So, all right, Jesse, anything else you want to let our listeners know?
No, I'll say this. These two books are great, and it's worth the quality is there. The artwork and the writing is certainly there. The two are the premier titles at the moment.
Yep. Agree 100%. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Don't forget you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. And while you're there, check out all our other coverage, pop culture, TV, movies, video games, all that kind of great stuff. Twitter.com/TheComicSource is where you can find us on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three places are a great place to find out when we drop new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So I want to thank Jesse for joining me as always. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.